And so the Lord your God, as it is written in this book of the covenant, surely there was not kept such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah, that in the 18th year of King Josiah was this Passover kept to the Lord in Jerusalem. How briefly this Passover is noticed. But now, turn to 2 Chronicles 35, and will your attention span endure 19 verses? Let's see. I read you about the Passover in 2 Kings. Now, this is the same Passover, but in expanded form. 35, 1 of 2 Chronicles. Now, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem. And they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priests in their offices and encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord. And he said unto the Levites that taught all Israel that were holy unto the Lord, put the holy oil in the house which Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, did build. There shall no more be a burden upon your shoulders. Now serve the Lord your God and his people Israel, and prepare yourselves after your father's houses by your courses, according to the writing of David, king of Israel, and according to the writing of Solomon, his son, and stand in the holy place according to the divisions of the fathers' houses of your brethren, the children of the people, and let there be for each a portion of a father's house of the Levites. And kill the Passover, and sanctify yourselves, and prepare for your brethren to do according to the word of the Lord by Moses. Please notice three things. The writing of David, of Solomon, the word of the Lord by Moses. And Josiah gave to the children of the people, of the flock, lambs and kids, all of them for the Passover offerings, unto all that were present, to the number of 30,000 and 3,000 bullocks. To the number of 30,000 and 3,000 bullocks. These were of the king's substance. And his princes gave for a freewill offering unto the people, to the priests and to the Levites, Hilkiah and Zechariah and Jehiel, the rulers of the house of God, gave unto the priests for the Passover offerings 2,600 small cattle and 300 oxen. Cananiah also, and Shemaiah, and Nethanel, his brethren, and Hashabiah, and Jael, and Jozabad, the chief of the Levites, gave unto the Levites for the Passover offerings 5,000 small cattle and 500 oxen. So, the service was prepared, and the priests stood in their places, and the Levites by their courses, according to the king's commandment, and they killed the Passover, and the priests sprinkled the blood which they received of their hand, and the Levites slayed them, and they removed the burnt offerings, that they might give them according to the divisions of the fathers' houses of the children of the people, to offer unto the Lord, as it is written in the book of Moses. And so did they with the oxen. And they roasted the Passover with fire, according to the ordinance, and the holy offerings boiled they in pots, and in cauldrons, and in pans, and carried them quickly to all the children of the people. And afterward, they prepared for themselves and for the priests, because the priests, the son of Aaron, were busied in the offering, the burnt offerings, and the fat until night. Therefore the Levites prepared for themselves and for the priests, the sons of Aaron. And the singers, the sons of Asaph, were in their place, according to the commandment of David and Asaph, and Heman and Jeduthun, the king's seer. and the porters were at every gate. They needed not to depart from their service, for their brethren, the Levites, prepared for them. So all the service of the Lord was prepared the same day to keep the Passover and to offer burnt offerings upon the altar of the Lord according to the commandment of King Josiah. And the children of Israel that were present kept the Passover at that time and the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days. And there was no Passover like that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. Neither did any of the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept, and the priests and the Levites, and all Judah and Israel that were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was this Passover kept. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we thank you for times of revival, of refreshing, of rejoicing. Let us know how much depression, dejection, departure there is among the people of God. But we are thankful that there are times like this time when Josiah kept the Passover. And we pray, Father, that we shall take it to heart, that we shall not be discouraged, but from all the things that caused you to give him commendation, doing your will, Father, with all his heart and with all his soul, let it be a challenge to us, we pray. So teach us as we consider the Passover, especially this one kept by Josiah. We thank you for the blessings of the day. We thank you, Father, that Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. And we pray that we might understand about keeping the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Had I not read to you about other Passovers that were kept in the days of Judges, Samuel, in the days of Kings, you would not have known that there were ever that six Passovers kept in the entire Old Testament, and there was a seventh that is going to be kept during the millennium. This is a portent. I want to bring them to your attention because I read to you about the Passover that was kept according to the writing of Moses, and then according to the writing of David, and according to the writing of Solomon. Well, what does this mean? It means that there was a progression, a development in the Passover and the way that it was reserved as God revealed himself more and more to the children of Israel. But these are the references to the Passover. The first one, of course, was in Exodus chapter 12, the second in Numbers 9, the third in Joshua 5, the fourth in 2 Chronicles 30, the fifth in 2 Chronicles 35, the sixth in Ezra 6, and in a coming day, in Ezekiel 45, in that new millennial temple, it says that the Passover is going to be kept again. Now, what is of great interest is that no Passover that is recorded in the Old Testament is identical with the other Passover. As to its location, as to the ritual, one, another, the next, all of them were different. The first was kept by Israel in Egypt. Another one could never be kept that way because it is like the first Lord's Supper. There can never be another Lord's Supper kept like that first Lord's Supper. But afterwards, when they held the second Passover, there were different circumstances. They were no longer in bondage in Egypt, but they were delivered. They were on their way to the promised land, and therefore the ritual had to be altered. The second Passover was kept 1 year to the day after they had kept the first Passover in Egypt. And the second Passover was kept in the wilderness of Sinai. And then, until 40 years, there was no Passover kept that God tells us about as the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. But after they crossed the Jordan, after they came to the plains of Jericho, to Gilgal, that in the 40th year was when they kept the third Passover. The next was kept in the time of Hezekiah, but notice again, we're not in Egypt, we're not in the wilderness of Sinai, we're not in the plains of Jericho, but now we're in Jerusalem. When you have the first tabernacle that is mentioned, only after the tabernacle is built can the Passover be kept in relation to that tabernacle. And then, when the tabernacle is done away with, only in relation to the temple that Solomon built can you keep another Passover. You see, that is why it is essential for us to read about the Lord's Supper. Because if we say we're going to have a Lord's Supper identical with the first Lord's Supper we have recorded in the Gospels, that's a remarkable thing, because that was anticipatory of Christ that was going to be crucified on the cross. And you have the Savior there himself officiating. You say you're going to have one exactly like it was there? You say, well, no, we can't. Of course not. There was never another Passover identical to the one that they observed in Exodus chapter 12, because that was the original Passover. And every Passover after that Passover looked back to the original Passover. And in like manner, each Lord's Supper that we keep now is in obedience to Christ's request, this do in remembrance of me, that was given at that first Passover. So think these things through and see how alterations come. But I rejoice in this, and I want you to see this. It mentions the writings of Moses, the writings of David, and the writings of Solomon. And so turn to 1 Chronicles 28. I want you to read this. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And look at verse 11. 1 Chronicles 28, 11. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch of the temple and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof and of the upper rooms thereof and of the inner chambers thereof and of the place of the mercy seat and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit. Now, look at verse 19. All this, said David, have I been made to understand in writing from the hand of the Lord, even all the works of this pattern. You say, then I see. If there are any changes that come, and God has given an inspired account of how these changes are to take place, then it is acceptable. That is true. I wanted you to see that, because David, in turn, gave his instructions to Solomon, and Solomon carried out things according to the pattern that his father, David, had given to him. So if there was a change, it has to be of God. And if there are any changes in the observances that we have today, the way that the Lord's Supper is kept, the way that we baptize, if any changes have occurred, let us see whether there is a development in the Word of God or whether it is stationary and there needs to be no change. Just keep those things in mind. Paul said, the gospel will never change. An angel from heaven, if he preaches it, it's false. If I preach another gospel, if anybody does, accursed, the gospel will never change. But some of the observances that we carry out, they can be altered if it's set forth in the Word and there are variations, but be able to say this, as David did, all these changes that I'm making are according to what God told me, the pattern that God wrote for me. Now that is stability. Do you understand? That God told Moses about the first covenant in Exodus 24, And until Jeremiah was inspired by God to speak of a new covenant, it was blasphemy to speak of any other covenant than that first covenant. But God, through his prophets, could give additional information, could give changes of information, and could give a complete new covenant, as he did in Jeremiah chapter 31. It took a prophet of God to do that. David was a prophet. And in like manner, Moses, the prophet of God, was given the pattern, he tells us in Exodus chapter 25, as David says, I received the pattern in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. All of it came from God. And the apostle Paul said, if any man thinketh himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him take knowledge of the things which I speak unto you are the commandment of the Lord. And so the only ones who can change are inspired prophets. And so if someone comes around telling you that now the Lord's Supper is to be observed this way, you say, well, show me this in the Scripture. It's not in the Scripture. We just know it's to evolve that way. It's to develop that way. Beware. I told you about this friend of mine who is an Anglican, and he asked me questions. And he was asking me questions about now, just where should this chalice be placed on the altar? Should it be at the back? Should it be at the front? I said, I can tell you nothing about the chalice and the altar because God's word never mentions any chalice and any altar. And he burst out laughing and said, it doesn't. And yet people are contending that this is the way it should be. Just as in the book of Zechariah, they came and they were asking, now, what about these feasts that we've been keeping? And you look in God's word for the feasts that they've been keeping, and God never told them to keep those feasts. And so in like manner, some of the things that people do today, they're saying, this is right and that is right. And yet you look in the word, and nothing is mentioned there at all. But what we have, and the variations, and the additions, and the enlargement of the Passover that Josiah kept finally, then that enlargement was according to what was found in the Word of God. Notice this, and this is what is so important, that Josiah, who had gone around destroying everything that was evil, had a balanced life. Oh, there are many Christians who will go out and tell you everything that's wrong that you're doing. But they do not come along after they have destroyed everything that's wrong and taken away every unclean thing and produce anything positive for us. But Josiah did. Having ridded Jerusalem of idols and abominations, then he said, the Bible says, the covenant says, the book of Moses says, we are to keep the Passover. That's what we're going to do. Now that is commendable. When you see things that God says should not be, destroy them. That's good. But at the same time, when you see something positive that God says should be done, then do that as well. And so the world is filled with negative Christians telling us what we are not to do. But seldom do you find positive Christians who, when they remove the sin from your life, say, now, replace it with this which is good and acceptable in the sight of God. That's what Josiah did. And what is so encouraging was this. It says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. And so as soon as Josiah, a young man, and in this instance he was 26 years old, but as a young man, when he had Hilkiah, who found the word of God, when it was read to him, immediately his heart was smitten because there was so much that was contrary in his life and the children of Israel, as was written in the law of Moses. And he said, these things are going to be changed, and we have to cry to God for mercy, because great is his wrath that's going to come upon us. And he conformed to all that was written in the book. And then he said, we're going to keep the Passover. So let us rejoice in that. It is good for you to look at the children of God and see the things wherein they have shortcomings. But having seen that, have you looked also in the Word of God and seen the things that are missing in their lives that should be there that are good? Not only the things that are there that are wrong and should be removed. Josiah was one who said, it says that we are to keep the Passover. We are going to keep the Passover. Let us rejoice in that. All right. Having said that, he personally encouraged those holy men of God, those priests, as to what they should do. This is what it says. It says, we're going to keep the Passover, and he set the priests and their offices and encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord. At times there are those who are not, as you would say, in the Lord's full-time service, commended men. They may be businessmen, but they see a need, and they come and encourage those who minister to God's people and say, this is what should be done. What you are doing is not in vain. Let me encourage you to carry on preaching the word. I know it seems as if people never learn. It seems as if they never obey, but carry on in the things of God. This is what God wants of you. And here is what this king did. He is no priest. He is the king. But he speaks to those who are priests, and it says he encouraged them in their service to the house of the Lord. Now, what happens when you begin to obey the ordinances, the feasts that are found in the Word of God? You'll find that one of the shortcomings is this: the people with whom you keep that feast. That's the only thing that's wrong with the Lord's Supper, the people that are there. There's nothing wrong with the Lord's Supper itself. But what you will find is this. As in the case of the children of Israel in Joshua 5, they had not been circumcised. They were not permitted to keep the Passover. So they had to be circumcised, and then they could keep the Passover. And I may or may not tell you about this, but in the days of Hezekiah, they wanted to keep the Passover, but the keeping of that Passover was filled with imperfections. But his heart was set on keeping the Passover, and God allowed him to keep the Passover. But in the case of Josiah, what is so remarkable is that he kept it in a way that had not been kept in years and years. And as you look at it, you see the greatness of that Passover in so many particulars. And this was thrilling. And the author of Chronicles, in contrast to the author of Kings, he briefly noticed it. But the spiritual significance and the ritual and the details of this Passover that Josiah kept, they were of the greatest interest to the author of Chronicles, and therefore he elaborates in all the verses that I read to you. In like manner, if you read about the temptation of the Lord in the Gospel of Mark, ever so brief, look at it in Matthew and in Luke, elaborated. Look for it in John and you'll not find it there at all. This is the way God has his book written. He does not give everything to everyone. If Kings were identical with Chronicles, why would you need them both? But you will find that certain particulars as to feasts are of greater importance to some and of greater interest to some than to others, and because of that, they will emphasize a certain aspect of a feast as this author of Chronicles. And he was interested in all the details. But now, I told you what was wrong with it. The only thing wrong with it was the people. It started in Egypt. It speaks about some families, and it speaks about the necessity of lambs, and one lamb could do for more than one family. But when you offered sacrifices, God recognized that there were some who were poor of the people, and he said, and if you cannot offer animals, well, then you can offer two turtle doves or two young pigeons. God accepts that. But now when you read about this Passover that is going to be observed, you'll find that the people are in such a condition that they do not have the animals with which to offer to carry out the Passover. And so, what are you going to do? Suppose you have thousands wanting to keep the Passover, but then when they come to the altar, the priest says, where is your lamb? They say, we have no lamb. We did not have the wherewithal to purchase one, and we want with all our hearts to keep the Passover, but we have no lamb. And so this is where those that are in a position to help others that are poor come to our attention. Notice what it says about King Josiah. It says he gave 30,000 small animals. They were the ones that would be offered for the Passover. And it says 3,000 bullocks. These were of the king's substance. Now, think. 30,000 people that were not able to keep the Passover, and even more because more could use one lamb than one. 30,000. And yet the king says, here, here are the animals. And I can only mention this in passing. In Deuteronomy 18, you will find, as in the book of Numbers, the tales as to other animals that are to be offered the day after the Passover begins. You have between the two evenings, on the 14th evening, about 3 o'clock, the Passover is offered. And then at 6 o'clock, that's the next day, that is when the Feast of Unleavened Bread begins. And you may read in Numbers and in Deuteronomy all the particulars concerning the Passover and all the additional animals that are to be offered day after day after day during this feast of 7 days of unleavened bread. And in addition to that, people could offer free will offerings. So what does it mean to us today? I thought about this. Some who come to the Lord's Supper, they are spiritual paupers. They are not able to offer God anything. And so, what am I going to do? Well, if God has enriched me, then I am to impart to those who are spiritually paupers some of the riches that God has given me. The Savior, in Luke 11, was praying, and when he finished, his disciples came to him and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. They understood that they did not know how to pray. Now, in like manner, there are some who come to the Lord's Supper, and perhaps they want to offer something to God, because it says in Hebrews, it says that we are to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks unto His name. Notice, a sacrifice, but it's the sacrifice of praise to God continually. And it says that when the Israelites came to these feasts, they were not to come empty, and if they were going to observe the Passover, they had to have a lamb. All right. In the case of Josiah, it was simply material wealth. I have thousands of cattle, lambs, kids. Here, take them, use them. And all the people who had not to offer unto God, the king in his riches shared what he had. Now, in like manner, think. Paul says to Timothy, the things which thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I tell you what I will do. If you do not stand to your feet and worship God in spirit and in truth, if you do not offer the fruit of your lips, I have all sorts of lambs and kids and cattle, and if you will come, I will give them to you, and I will show you how to offer them unto God. And some of you have abundance of cattle and sheep, kids as well, and therefore those that do not at the Lord's Supper have anything to give. They might want to, but they have not wherewith to give. Then you, as the king did, can impart to them the lambs necessary to keep the Passover. Now look at verse 8. And his princes gave for a freewill offering unto the people, to the priests, and to the Levites. Now this is a remarkable thing. I would have thought the priests and the Levites, no, they are destitute also. Look at verse 9. It says, the chiefs of the Levites gave unto the Levites. Do you not realize that even among those that are supposed to be in positions to teach and have wealth, at times God's servants do not know? And I have the Lord's servants coming to me asking constantly. And therefore, those that are in a position to help in a material way, like unto the kings and princes, there are also those that have an ability to supply in a spiritual way, and not just those that are commended to the work of the Lord, because it speaks about other people as well. The kings and the princes and the chiefs of the Levites. And so among the people of God, the servants of God, you have some that are richer than others and are able to impart to others the riches of the content of the full counsel of God. And this is what the Lord would have us to do. And this, please notice, and I'm applying it to us so that we can understand. Look at verse 10 one moment. So the service was prepared, and the priests stood in their place. And the Levites, look down at verse 15, and the singers, the sons of Asaph, were in their places, and the porters were at every gate. So we have priests and Levites and singers and porters. All of these are servants of God, and each has a particular function. All of these things are going on at the same time. Now, though I do not find all these gifts being exercised today among the people of God, what it says in 1 Corinthians 14 is this. What is it then, brethren? When you come together, each one hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a revelation, hath a tongue, hath an interpretation. What does it mean? It means that in the olden days, the priests, the Levites, the singers, the porters, each had his responsibility, and all of them had to work together and cooperate, or else the Passover would not have been as successful as it was. And so there are some who have ability to sing, and they can come, and there can be a psalm, and there are some that have a revelation. They can give a teaching from the Word of God. You say, yes. And what is a tongue? Well, nowadays, we have a tongue that is audible and understandable, but we speak the mysteries of God, the glories of God. And therefore, when we come together, we are to be like they were in that Passover. Each one has a particular contribution that he can make. The sons of Asaph, they excel in song. And the priests, why, in the sacrifices. The Levites, in carrying out the duties. The porters, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. But we all have our responsibilities, and when we come together and work together, then our hearts will rejoice at the Lord's Supper rather than come, and no one has anything to offer. And you should have music, but there's no music. You should have lambs, the fruit of your lips, but there is not that. You should have praise to God, but it's not that. And we come and we say, well, I find nothing of interest or that thrills my soul when I come to remember the Lord. Why, of course not. Because you are destitute, and no one has imparted to you, as the king did, 30,000 sheep and 3,000 bullocks. That is why. And also the gift that God has given you, you have not exercised that gift. And so we come and we are bored to death, because if you invite a preacher, the message is no better than the preacher. But if you have a Lord's Supper, the Lord's Supper is no better than the people who attend that Lord's Supper. And so you're criticizing your own self. So, while finding out things that are wrong among the people of God, find out also about things that are right, and by God's grace, keep the Passover. Time is gone. Let us pray. And Father, we're thankful that from earliest days, you have wanted your people to unitedly have feasts and suppers, and we see the joy that they had in Hezekiah's day and in Josiah's day. And we see how the various ones that you gifted were able to use that gift. And then there was great joy. And then they saw the worth of these feasts and these Lord's Suppers. Our Father, forgive us today if ever we come together and we are bored and there is dearth, there is no pasture. Our Father, we pray that thou shalt forgive us. But help some of us who do have things from you to distribute the abundance of the gift that we have. And such is Archippus. Say to Archippus, take heed the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. So, Lord, whatever excelling ways that thou hast given to certain ones, let us come, and as thy Spirit would guide us, let us use them. And then there will be joy, and then you will be delighted, and then the fruit of our lips will ascend on high. So help us as in the days of old, in Josiah's day, help us in our day to remember our Savior. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.